here tonight, and we don't know who's out there, but whoever you are, we're glad you're out there. I'd like to mention before I get into the message tonight, Brenda Berry has, her mother's gone on to be with the Lord. Brenda Berry. So please, Ruth Henderson, please remember that family in prayer. Ruth Henderson has gone on now to be with the Lord. The book of Micah, chapter number 5 and verse 1, if you'd like to turn there with me tonight. The book of Micah, chapter number 5 and verse 1. The scripture says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Strong speech as it relates to our Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 27 says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." The Bible says, no beginning, no ending, needs nothing. He is that he is. He exists because he exists. He needs nothing whatsoever. But we need him tonight in a way far beyond what we could ever imagine. We need him. The scripture says that he is the eternal God. This eternity of the Lord is a refuge for us. Eternal is like the rock of ages that we read about in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 4. The scripture says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." They tell us that that's a Hebraism for the rock of ages. So we find here in the book of Isaiah 26 and verse 4 that he's the rock of ages. We sing that song. It's a beautiful song. It's one of the most precious of all the songs that the Christian church has sung down through the years. It was written by A.M. Toplady, apparently taken from a personal experience. In a letter published in the London Times, June 1898, Sir William Henry Wills says, quote, "Toplady was one day overtaken by a thunderstorm in Burrington Coombe, on the edge of my property, Blagden, a rocky glen running up into the heart of the Mendip Range, and there taking shelter between two massive piers of our native limestone rock, he penned the hymn, 'Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.'" These are the words of that wonderful hymn. It says, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Let's talk about that rock of ages. The rock that gives you water of life. The book says in Exodus chapter 17 verse 6, "Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." This is the rock of the water of life. Have you drunk from the water of life? From that well that shall never run dry? It is sweet water. It is precious, refreshing water. Once you drink of that water, you'll never thirst again. He is the rock that lets you approach the Father. In the book of Exodus chapter 33, it says in verse 20, "And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, And thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. This is the rock that lets you approach the Father. No man knows the Father but the Son. No man knows the Son but the Father. No one knows the access to the Father but by the Son. If we even attempted to find the Father, it would be a waste of your time in vain, for only the Son knows the essence of the Father and where he can be found. Isaiah chapter 51 verse 1 says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pits which ye are digged. This is the rock that gave me life," according to Isaiah chapter number 51. "This is the rock of eternity, a stable, steadfast rock. That's where my life came from. It came from the one who went to the cross 2,000 years ago. The rock is the foundation stone of the truth, both Jewish and Christian. The truth of the Judaism that was passed on to Christianity. The truth of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the foundation stone of the truth. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16 says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Amen. I'm standing on the rock. So many songs in that hymnal have been written about the rock. And friend, tonight, we love and we worship the Rock of Ages. John chapter number 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." This is God dwelling among men. He is literally pitching his tent, his tabernacle, in the presence of men. God, you say, preacher? Yes, God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't ever let a heretic tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is not God Almighty in flesh. He is, every bit. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 1, verse 1, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." This is the Word that came from God, the final Word. Though he spoke through the prophets, now he has spoken through his Son. "Hear ye him," that Bible says. He doesn't speak as the scribes and as the Pharisees. "Never man spake like this man." Why? Because he's the living Word of God. John chapter number 1 verse 14. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." What does that mean, preacher? It means that God dwelt with us. In the Lord Jesus Christ, God made himself known to us. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal almighty Father made himself known to us through his Son in a way that we could understand this eternal being. And the Lord Jesus Christ dwelt in our midst. Revelation 21 verse 3 says, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." It may not be on the heart of man, but it has been on the heart of God from ages past to dwell with men. That day will be a grand day. What a great day that'll be when God pitches his tent in the midst of men. Men who will have ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to receive the presence of Almighty God. John 8:58 says, "Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." In the Greek text, that is ego eimi. That's an emphatic statement. In other words, I am, I am, I am that I am. John 18 verse 4 says, "Jesus therefore, knowing all things, that should come upon him went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? Then they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said this unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Why did they do that, preacher? They were standing in the presence of deity unfolding before them, and no man can stand before that holiness. God must make it possible for you to stand before God. And the only way we can do that is through the Rock of Ages. He hides us in the cleft of the rock. John 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This is this interaction of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It speaks of a place and a time and a height that is beyond human comprehension. But the Father loves his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When God Almighty, the second person of the Trinity, became manifest as God the Son in human flesh, and God incarnated himself as a man, that is irreversible. That is the sacrifice that Christ gave. Throughout eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of God, the Son of God, the God-man, will never cease to exist. He will ever be a witness and testimony to God's faithfulness and his love for us. Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He upholds them by the word of his power. I breathe, I live, I exist tonight. And believe me, I thank him for that. Day after day after day, I say, Lord, thank you that I exist. I exist because the Father brought me into existence in this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Revelation 22 verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Everything that has been said from the first letter of the Greek alphabet Alpha to the last letter of the Greek alphabet Omega, all things that are said from that first unto that last mean nothing except as they relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sum total of all wisdom and knowledge is bound up in him. Therefore, he's the beginning and he's the ending of everything human that we understand. This is why in Revelation he calls himself the Alpha and the Omega. Colossians 1:15, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Adam was made, placed in a garden, and was made in the image of God. Adam lost that image. 2,000 years ago, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he restored that image that Adam lost. That image is a powerful thing. It says in Hebrews 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That word person is a powerful word. Hypostasis in the Greek. It literally means the essence of God. So it says that he was the express image of the essence of God. That's why he could say to the people, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you have seen God. The Bible says in Hebrews 1 verse 11, they shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. 1 John 1, John the Apostle, who wrote the Gospel of John, who loved the Lord Jesus, who laid his head on his bosom. And when the Lord Jesus Christ said, one of you is going to deny me, It wasn't John knew it wouldn't be him. He said, "Who is it, Lord?" John loved him, and Christ loved John with a special love. The disciple whom Jesus loved, he said in the gospel. He loved them all, but there had to be a special love for John. John stood at the cross when all the other disciples fled at the crucifixion. John the apostle was left at that cross. And here's what John says in the epistles, we call them 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1st John 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." Note carefully. He gives us eternal life, but he is eternal life. You see this New Testament teaching? I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the water. I am, I am, I am. He has made unto us all things. He does not give us what we need for life. He is our life. He does not give us what we need to be spiritual. He is the source of our spirituality. You see what I mean? Satan will point you to a good thing and make you think you can receive something good from God, when all the time he's pointing you to something that is dead. For the only source of life there is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is our life. He is eternal life. And that life was manifested 2,000 years ago. And he walked among us. He lived a sinless, perfect life. And he was crucified. And on the third day he arose from the dead. And 40 days later he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And the angels sang in antiphony as he arose, as he approached, walked in the book of Psalms. It's called the Song of Degrees. As by degree after degree after degree he ascended higher and higher and higher into the presence of Almighty God. And when he approached the Father, here's the God-man, a man that was born on this earth, but he's the Lord Jesus Christ. When he approached the Father looked at his Son, who is now a man, and said, "Sit at my right hand." The Lord Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. Oh, bless that righteous name tonight. Revelation 1, verse 17. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold," John, "behold," get a good look at this, "I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death, the rock of ages. Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." The rock of ages, dear friend, can be your rock. What do I do, preacher? You don't do anything. It's what you do with Christ. It's what you believe about him. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." There's no long rigmarole of a bunch of stuff that you have to go through and accomplish to approach God. The approach has already been made. The door is already open. God is satisfied. That big veil in the temple has been split from the top to the bottom. He hath made of twain one new man, Jew and Gentile both. In him there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free. You can come freely to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will accept you just as you are. Thank God. Just as you are. You don't know where I am, preacher. I don't care where you are. You don't know what I've done. It'll make a difference what you've done. I'm not the issue anyway. He paid for it. He paid for your sin. He paid for it, and he loves you. Will you accept him tonight? Will you receive him? That's the question. Will you take hold of that rock of ages? Plant your feet firmly on that foundation, and you shall not be moved. Father, in thy name I pray. Bless your holy word, those who listen. Father, I don't have an idea. I have no idea who's out there and who listens, but making a difference. I'm just the messenger. But you know every last one of them. And you know what they're going to do with the word. I pray that it would take root. I pray they'll have ears to hear. I pray they'll receive it, and it'll bring forth fruit in due time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, dear friend. Thank you for listening. Lord willing, we'll be back here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we're going to have prayer meeting. We're going to continue having these meetings like you're watching tonight. I'm going to be bringing messages here in the church. Brother Caldwell's going to be leading the singing. And we're going to be here until we find out something.